Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37, this is reading of God's word. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. We are hearing your word. And Father, let every one of us realize how precious this time is. How important that we hear your word. Let us be awake, focused, as we hear your word. And we pray that through your word, that we will see the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished for us. Let us see who we are truly in Jesus Christ as we see Jesus Christ in your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From Matthew, we see that the new age has begun. Heaven has begun. The king has come and proclaims the gospel of his kingdom. He preaches the righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. Verse 48 says, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And yes, that is our reality in Jesus Christ. God has made us perfect in Jesus Christ. But we do not see that yet. And we have our lives here on earth, and we hear, we do our best by God's grace to witness that reality. But never, even as we fail miserably every single day, never losing that focus, never close our eyes upon that glorious sight that our Lord has already accomplished for us. In these verses, he shows us our reality of heaven. He shows us who we are truly in Christ. Let us read our passage once again, verse 33. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God. Or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet. Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Lying. When it comes to relationships, there is nothing more destructive than this. The most pathetic situation is that there is no one, or I should say, not being able to trust anyone. Sin, from the very beginning, it started with a lie. To lie is to imitate Satan. Because the Bible teaches us that the Satan is the father of lies. John chapter 8 verse 44b says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Let us go to Genesis 3 and see how the first sin has been committed. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Listen very carefully to what Satan says here. Has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? What did God really say? If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, this is what God actually said. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Again, did you hear what God said? He said, from any tree of the garden, you may eat freely. But Satan says, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Satan distorts God's word. And if we go down to verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. She says that God said, you shall not touch it. God never said that. She adds to God's word and misrepresents God's word. And here we sense her discontentment of God. Then in chapter 3, verse 4, serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. A flat-out lie. The head-on attack against the word of God. Then we see them hiding from God. And when God finds them, they give excuses after excuses. There you have it. a picture of sin, a picture of falsehood. This is a picture of sinful world. They try to make God a liar. We studied Mark chapter 14 a few weeks back, and I hope you remember the content. But that chapter showed us the night in which our Lord was betrayed. That night, what we see from the Bible, the people were seeking how to seize Jesus Christ and kill him. The people were making false witnesses against Jesus. Judas sold Jesus Christ. Peter denies Jesus Christ. Only our Lord Jesus Christ speaks the truth. Yes, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you and I, we have been saved out of this lie and sin and this world by our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have already been transferred into our eternal home, heaven, where there is no lie. You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. Jesus says, you have heard that. Well, there is no exact verse in the Old Testament, but there are many similar verses in the Old Testament. Let us look at a couple. Go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. You shall not swear, and for those of you who are little children, here swear is not using bad words, it's making an oath. You shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. It says, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. However, if you refrain from vowing, it will not be sin in you. You shall be careful to perform what goes out from your lips, just as you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 says, you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. So according to these verses, swearing by his name or making an oath by his name is not in and of itself sin. Because God himself makes an oath. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. So here, the author of Hebrews clearly teaches us that God makes an oath. And he uses that to show us how we could have confidence in God's promises. Because if you read verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, and we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. So there are two unchangeable things that God, he doesn't lie, and that he doesn't change. So if you understand those two, then you are able to have confidence in God's promises. But there, to argue that point, he shows us then how God himself made an oath. And if you go to Matthew chapter 26, this is what we read. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. By the name of God, you tell me whether you are Christ. If making an oath in and of itself is sin, Jesus would say, I can't do that, because that is sin. But that is not what Jesus says. Verse 64, Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and the coming on the clouds of heaven. So there, Jesus Christ doesn't rebuke him, the high priest, asking Jesus to make an oath. Paul makes an oath too. Romans chapter 9 verse 1, he says, I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. So telling these people that he is telling the truth, he brings the name of Jesus Christ in that statement. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23, Paul says, but I call God as my witness to my soul, that to spare you, I did not come again to Corinth. So again, God, he calls upon the name of God as he tells these people that what he's telling is the truth. And do you remember Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 13 that we read a little bit ago? That verse actually says, swear by the name of God. Make an oath in the name of God. So whenever we make an oath, we must make an oath in the name of God. The problem is that the people do it to cover up their lies. And just because you make an oath by any other thing other than the name of God, that does not mean that is now okay to lie or break your oath. So understand what Jesus is trying to say here. These people, when they make an oath by the name of God, they do that to cover up their lie. Or even from the very beginning, they have no intention of keeping it, so they would make an oath by the all these other things other than the name of God. Actually, our Lord Jesus explains our passage for us in Matthew chapter 23. Let us go there together. Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to read from verse 16. Matthew 23:16. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. See, these people were saying that if you swear by certain things, then you do not have to keep it. But if you swear by certain other things, then you must keep it. Why do they do this? All this is to falsify swear. All this is to lie. But what they do not understand is that all is of God. There's nothing that is not related to God. Isaiah 66 verse 1, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So if you swear by heaven and thinking that it is okay, Jesus says no, because heaven is throne of God. And if you swear by the earth, you feel it's okay, but Jesus says no, the earth is the footstool of God. Psalm 48 verse 2 talks about the city of our God, Jerusalem, as the city of our God, city of the great King. And in Matthew chapter 10 verse 30, Jesus says that the very hairs of our heads are all numbered by God. No matter what you swear on or make an oath on, you are in fact making an oath by God's name. All is God's. Why would people make an oath on something other than God's name in the first place? Because they have no intention of keeping it. They do that to support their lie. Some even flat out lie as they make an oath with the name of God. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 17b in King James Version, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. How can we use the holy name of God in falsehood? The Old Testament clearly teaches that his name is himself. Exodus chapter 20 verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. NIV says, do not misuse the name of God. The same word is used in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 20. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So you shall not use the name of the Lord your God in false witnessing, profaning the name of God. It also means to bring shame to God's name, disgracing the name of God, dishonoring the name of God. Using God's name as if it is worthless. So many people do this. They use God's name in worthless things, worthless conversations, as if His name is worthless. And it is not just the problem of our lips. Isaiah 28 verse 13, then the Lord said, because these people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Mechanical lip service without heart. Using God's name without love for Him in his or her heart. And also it is using God's name without the true faith in God. Some people even go far as using God's name in cursing. How would you feel if I use your father's name in cursing? Whenever something bad happens, they use God's name. They go, Jesus Christ. How would you feel if I use your mother's name whenever bad things happen to me? How about, oh my God? Whatever that made you say that, was it worth it to involve our holy name of God? Oh my gosh! What do you think, oh my gosh, is referring to? Jeez or G. A short form of Jesus, one dictionary says. How about God's attributes? God's attributes are God Himself. So they say, oh my goodness! Well, goodness is attribute of God. Brothers and sisters, how important is the name of God to you? We dare not use our earthly father's name in this stuff. And yet, it is so casual with us using this holy name of God in worthless, stupid things. I get personally offended, and I do hear it. Even from you guys, I do hear it. It's my father's name. Be careful with it. How important is God to you? And how important is His name to you? His name, our God's name, what is it worth? Some use God's name as a magic formula or incantation. I desire certain worldly things, so I bring up God's name. They pray in the name of Jesus Christ, but what they're saying is, I want to satisfy my evil desires. By worldly desires. And in that thing, they bring in God's name. Do not swear by God's name if you have no intention to do what you are promising. Don't say things, I swear by God. Because whatever that you're swearing is not worth God's name. That is the point that Jesus is making. But of course there are times that you must swear by God's name. Like when you take an oath as you become a member of church. See, that is worth His name. How can we bring God's name into falsehood? How about using God's holy name in a joke? And Christian hears God's name in this stupid joke and we all laugh. What if I use your father's name in a joke? You think you will laugh? His name is so precious to us. Because He is our God. God's name should be used in utmost important matters. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Are we praying for the things that are worthy of God's name? Because you're going to pray and you're going to bring in His name into your prayer. Are you praying for the things that is worthy of His name? As we praise our God, as we worship our God, we call upon His holy name. Even as you sit here, even as we begin this worship, you have called upon His name. And even though you have called upon His name, now your mind wanders off. Once you call Him, He deserves your complete attention. We must never use God's name in a casual manner. The same import as a name of someone's dog. That's how people, how far they go with this holy name of our God. It's not even as important as his or her dog's name. Revelation chapter 14. Let us go there together. Revelation chapter 14 verse 1. It says, Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000. Those of you who have studied Revelation with me know this already. 144,000 is a symbolical number of the people of God. So in that symbolical number, we have everyone who is saved. Having His name and the name of His Father written on their foreheads. So we're looking into this heavenly reality, and we see this 144,000 people of God, and on their head, what is written? On their forehead, what is written? God's name is written. Do you understand that even now, God's name is written on your forehead. We even call ourselves Christian. Christian. We use his name to describe ourselves. You and I have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand your spiritual reality that God's name is written on your forehead? Just like if you read Revelation chapter 13, non-Christians, what is written on their forehead? The number of the beast, 666. Because they are the children of Satan. This is the spiritual reality. Unless you don't believe what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. So understand, as you live your life, you're always involving God's name because it is written on your forehead. Just like in non-Christians, they always involve Satan in whatever they do. You got to understand the spiritual reality that the Bible is teaching us. There is no neutral ground. Oh yeah, non-Christian will say, oh, I'm not for God, but I'm not for Satan either. Well, Bible doesn't allow that. There's only two situations, right? Either you're of God or you're of Satan. But understand, because you are of God, God's holy name is written on your forehead. We must not bring shame to God's name that we carry all the time. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that you involve God's name in everything that you do. Everywhere you go, you take His name. And if God is important to you, His name is important to you, and you will do your best not to bring shame to His name. What is the purpose of our salvation? Well, let's go to Exodus 20. Sorry, Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 9. God says this, "But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt." In terms of Old Testament, when God saved His people out of Egypt, it was because of His name's sake. Because they are called God's people, and if they just suffer like that, being slave to this nation of the world, then it is His name that is in stake here. For His name's sake, then God saves. Well, go to Ezekiel 36. Go a little bit back here. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. And from verse 24, we read about the new covenant. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from you, your flesh, and give you heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave your forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. So he's talking about the salvation that he's going to accomplish through the Messiah. But he says, I'm going to do that. But he tells us why he's doing it. Because of his name. Because we have profaned it. Do you understand that if we are truly God's people, do you understand that even if when we are truly God's people and that we don't become the perfect people of God, then his name is at stake. And for his name's sake, he will do it. He will make you and me the perfect citizens of heaven. Because his name is at stake. Brothers and sisters, this is the purpose of our salvation. How can we bring shame to God's name or use his name as if it's worthless? All is for the praise of his name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus we must use the name of God in a serious manner. Falsely making an oath with the name of God is something that God hates. So what is Jesus Christ saying? He's saying, use God's name in an important, serious manner and matters. Because people are just in their everyday, just casual, nothing important conversation, they bring in God's name. And they say, I swear by God, what I'm telling you is true. Jesus Christ says, stop it. Don't do that. And he tells you in verse 37, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. James chapter 5 verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Instead of saying things like, I swear by God, just speak the truth. Let your yes be yes and no be no. Anything beyond these is of evil, God says. You hear this a lot, right? You ask these questions or you want that person to say whether he is going to come or he is going to keep this promise or whatever. And you ask these things and they go, maybe. What do you think maybe is? You say maybe, Because you have no intention of doing it. Because if you had clear intention, you would say yes. Maybe it's easy way out. Because it's like these people who are making an oath on temple or making an oath in all these other things. It's just like it. Maybe because you know, because you say maybe, you don't have to keep it. You don't have to keep it. But Bible says, let your yes be yes, no be no. Anything beyond these two is coming from evil. Understand? We must speak the truth. Because we are the citizens of heaven. Because God has saved us out of lies. Maybe is no in deception. In a normal casual conversation, do not make an oath with the name of God or anything else. Always speak the truth in love. Never say, I swear to God, when you are talking about the things of no importance or things of this world. If you always speak the truth, then you do not need to do that. Remember, brothers and sisters, we live our lives in the presence of God. We live the very life of heaven in Jesus Christ, a life without lies, a life of truth. A life witnessing the truth, our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, lying is the one of the biggest hindrance in witnessing our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. You might think lying is not that bad. Especially when we call these lies white lies. But just to show you how serious lying is, let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It is talking about these people who will not go into heaven. And verse 8 says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You might be surprised by that list, because it lists some serious sins, but at the end also includes lying. And I want you to understand how serious lying is. Go to chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 15. Outside of heaven, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. It's to show you how serious lying is. Go to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. First John chapter 5, verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. Brothers and sisters, this is what I'm trying to say. When we talk about lying, don't take it to this moral level. What is lie? Lie is all that denies God. By refusing to believe God, they make God a liar. That's biblical lying. So according to the Bible, people who do not believe, they are the liars who's going to be outside of heaven. As far as the Bible is concerned, anyone who does not take this truth, they are the liars. Now, of course, the world will not accept that, but it doesn't matter. Understand what kind of salvation that you have received. You are no longer liars. You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in God. You are not outside of heaven. You are inside. Let's not take it to that moral level and understand this lying in terms of how the world understands it. That is why, as you believe God, you must speak the truth. Because you are no longer liars. You have been saved from this. You are no longer children of Satan, who the Bible calls the father of lies. Yes, I must say this. Us Christians, we're not any better than non-Christians. Apart from Christ, we're just like them. Or some Christians lie more than non-Christians. I don't know how that can be, but we know that's true sometimes. It's not that we're better than non-Christians that we have been saved. But understand, you have been saved out of this. And he calls you to live the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 verse 9, there is no deceit in his mouth. Jesus Christ always spoke the truth, always speaks the truth. He lived a life of perfect truth. He did that for you and for me. And we must believe. We cannot make him into a liar. We must witness Jesus Christ. We must live his life. And we are living his life. Brothers and sisters, no deceit in our mouths is our present spiritual reality of heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let your yes be yes and no be no. Speak the truth in love. Yes, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the life of heaven has already begun for you and for me. And just like what verse 48 says, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that reality is already ours spiritually in Jesus Christ. Understand what kind of person you have become and live that out. Witness that. Speak the truth. And praise
the holy name of our God.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you have saved us out of this world. This world who are following the Satan who is the father of lies. But Father, we are no longer those kind of people. Not because we're any better than them, but because you have saved us in Jesus Christ. And let us clearly understand what has happened to us and who we are in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless us so that our yes be yes and no be no. That we will always speak the truth in love. That we will speak of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.